And today, we look at Rupert Murdoch's attempt to placate angry residents living near the proposed Fox Studios in Sydney with half-price movie tickets and free large Cokes. We've got the rubber gloves on as we trawl through the latest Madonna news. We'll once again go for a trip round the dial to see what our competition are up to. And on Radio Gladiators, you'll have the chance to do something nice for one Clint Eastwood. We've got another misguided duet with Pete, the Foolish Behaviour Files, they're chockers. And joining us live, former NYPD blue star turned big-time movie star, David Caruso. He'll be here live in the studio. It's all coming up on the program that makes Doremus say... Hey, language, Martin Malloy. I love the nightlife. That's Alicia Bridges welcoming you to Martin Malloy for Wednesday, people, with myself, Tony Martin, and this bloke, a man who's found himself at the centre of a new controversy today. The hosts of Channel 9's upcoming The Cricket Show, Shane Warne, Michael Slater and Simon O'Donnell, allege he offered them a large sum to host the show badly. Mick Malloy.
What can I say? Nothing. It's all before the courts.
Okay, we'll get to that later on, but I want to, we were talking Melbourne Cup yesterday, so I thought to balance things up, I'd see what's going on, firstly in Sydney, and it's a big story today. Residents living near the Sydney showgrounds are outraged at what they describe as a blatant attempt by Fox Film Studios to buy them off with cheap movie tickets and free rides on yet-to-be-constructed studio tour attractions. Basically, what's going on is Rupert Murdoch's whacking up a film studio at the showgrounds. He's keen to go the whole Universal Studios in Hollywood route, you know, with thrill rides for the kids. Oh, look, it's the shark from Jaws! Oh, look, it's the alien from Alien! Oh, look, it's an opportunity to invest in a new film starring Paul Mercurio! You know, real scary stuff. And in order to placate locals worried about the traffic congestion, parking and noise, you know, many of them have just moved to the area from out by the third runway, so they're ropeable.
Right.
Well, Fox Studios have apparently sent out a letter, a peace offering promising cheap tickets to the flicks and free goes on whatever rides they come up with. So what, it'll be, oh, Jesus, nowhere to park, our front drive's chockers with tourists and we can't get to sleep because of lightsaber battles and the incessant chatter of Ewoks. But not to worry, kids, because we've got half-price tickets to Assassins! And what about those rides? I understand they're cooking up some new ones because, you know, the Jaws ride been done, Police Academy ride been done, Madonna's Body of Evidence ride been done, many rushed to hospital with hard-to-explain wax burns. So they've got to come up with some fresh ones, and I understand they're working on, well, firstly, a mechanical Brian Brown. It's just Brian Brown,
okay,
reenacting scenes from Taipan. There's a fantastic Basic Instinct ride. You can go on the R or M versions. It's all a question of stamina. There's the Reservoir Dogs ride, only two goes per person, because, you know, you'll run out of ears. What about the Usual Suspects ride? That's fantastic, but nobody understands the end bit. You just get off a little bit mystified. There's the Showgirls ride. Very popular, but it's not a ride, it's a theme park attraction, damn it. There's the Hugh Grant ride. Insert your own joke here, listeners. And don't forget to drop by for a mouth-watering strip of sizzling whale meat at the Eat Willy family restaurant. But I've just been thinking about this. Yeah. And if the locals don't want noise, congestion and thousands of tourists traipsing up their street, the answer's simple. Just lobby the Fox people to make sure all the rides are based on Australian movies, and I think they'll find things will pretty much stay as is. But that's all going on in Sydney, and I've just got another pretty interesting story from Sydney. Have we got time for this, Mickey?
We certainly do.
Listen to this. Australian Defence Force chiefs have refused to support the deployment of an armed services float or an armed forces float at next year's gay Mardi Gras parade in Sydney. The military's gay support group, G-Force, did you know they about their
no.
work? They're very active. Their VP Day celebrations are still going at a warehouse in Paddington, apparently.
Excellent.
But they've asked the ADF leadership last month to endorse the float, but the bigwigs have given it the thumbs down. And gee, I don't know why, especially after the success of the G-Force float in this year's Anzac Day parade.
And here come the men of the 3rd Armoured Battalion. Splendid. Absolutely splendid. And next up, a warm reception for the lads of the 39th. including survivors of the Great War. Bravo. And here comes, yes, it's the boys of G-Force. And what a magnificent display. There's Brigadier General Walter Payton in the G-String atop the Greyhound bus, gyrating suggestively in strict accordance with battalion procedure.
Lou Graham with a bit of Midnight Blue here on Martin Malloy, and Mickey's chomping at the bit. He's saying, please don't, come on, let's take a look inside the Martin Malloy galaxy of stars. What are you sitting on?
Pretty grubby little affair, to tell you the truth. You're not surprised by that, are you?
Not
People
at all.
Come to expect it from me, so I'll get away with it, won't I?
We'll see.
Okay.
Jury's out, Mickey.
All right. Well, it could be a hung jury too. According to a new biography, Madonna... Are you listening up? Madonna used to smear former lover John F. Kennedy Jr. with peanut butter and lick it off his body. Yeah. And he once came home to find Madonna wrapped in Glad wrap saying, dinner's ready, John. Now, he should count himself lucky she remembered his name, because from what I understand, normally it's just a case of her standing there going, number 33, your meal is ready. Tone, I don't know about you, but when I get home from a hard day at the office, I expect my dinner to be on the table, not walking around the room wrapped in plastic, brandishing a well-known breakfast condiment. What's all that about? What a weird woman. So, if you're going out with Madonna and you wanted a bit of the old rumpty-pumpty, what? You ask if she's hungry? You wait till you hear her tummy rumbling? I don't know, I'm confused. Hey, Madonna, feeling peckish? Time for a quick snack? Oh, full, are we? Already eaten? I was warned about you. You two-timing guts! I mean, what would you say when people asked about your love life? Hey, John, how's Madonna in bed? Yeah, pretty good. Mind you, sometimes her eyes are too big for her stomach. Anyway, the relationship didn't last, and it ended after Madonna turned up unannounced at a family dinner thrown by John's mother, Jackie Onassis. So it was a tense dinner. Madonna didn't touch a thing on a plate. I mean, sure, she'd tonguey John from head to foot, but Jackie seemed fairly unimpressed nonetheless. Because, well, Jackie Onassis married Aristotle Onassis.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, they're a Greek family, and they enjoy that great Greek tradition when the meal culminates of, you know, you smash your plate all over whatever's there. You know, you just smash it on the floor or whatever.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, Madonna was keen to join in, and she meant well, but, well, things did turn a bit frosty when she picked up a chair and smashed it over John's head. Anyway, there you go. Madonna likes licking peanut butter off her boyfriends. So what have we learnt? Well, nothing really. Although, you know what I'm looking forward to seeing? A tormented Madonna make a vain attempt at the 40-hour famine.
It's Janet Jackson with Runaway. Mickey, I'm still thinking about that Madonna story with the peanut butter. Would it be the smooth or the crunchy? What do you think she'd be going for?
Hairy. Okay. New hairy. It's your smoothie, crunchy. Yeah, that'll
do. Fascinating.
It is fascinating stuff. I reckon we'll be continuing with that story all week.
I hear she's now dating, you know, that little animated oily peanut butter bloke from the commercial.
They're hitting it off.
She's keen to get his number. But listen, here's something we do from time to time on the show because, you know, loath though we are to admit it, there's other programs on other stations around the FM and AM band. Mm. And occasionally we like to see how other people do it on other stations. So we like to just tune around and see what they're up to. Just, Gracie, if you could just do a bit of tuning. Let's see what happens. Right, that were Chaz and Dave with another right royal knees up here at Sausages FM, the station for expatriate Brits living down under. Remember, if any of the locals ask, we can't stand John Major. Okay, time for Rock Roundup. Let's find out what's going on in the British rock scene. Blur Oasis, oh, I just can't decide. Okay, we'll be back with another rock roundup at the same time next week. But in the meantime, here it's Sausages, keep complaining, and here's Chaz and Dave.
People party.
You're listening to ABC Youth Radio, and hey, some outrageous stuff going on in Papua New Guinea, and whoa, have you seen what the cops are getting away with at this Royal Commission? Japanese drift netting continues unabated, and pardon me, but just what are Bill Clinton's bully boys doing in Sarajevo? While you're thinking, here's the new single from Pet Shop Boys. Sensible Gardening Supplies, where the sign says service with a smile and the owner says piss off you bloody kids. We're back on Issues AM, where as always I'm joined by a number of interchangeable hacks from the Sunday papers. Our first caller is Amanda. Amanda, your question for the panel.
Have you got any free tickets to Silverchair?
Have we got any free tickets to Silverchair? Robert Curmudgeon from the Sunday Junket.
Well, I'd love to know what Gareth Evans has to say about this.
Yes, well, I think we all would.
Very droll.
Well, Amanda, I hope that answers your question. Next, we've got Dominica.
Hi, do you know if it's true that Silverchair releasing a live CD?
Well, seems to be a recurring theme on today's show. Robin Purulent from the Free... to you.
Yes, can I just mention, I attended a wonderful free lunch for Kangaroo Beach, a terrific little soap opera which is starting soon on the Nine Network.
Really? Is it any good?
Well, they turned on a fantastic cold turkey dinner and there was plenty of free port, so I'm suggesting it's going to be a winner.
Excellent. Well, our next caller is Barry.
G'day, it's the station manager. You're all set.
Well, an interesting comment from Barry.
Go on, piss off all of you.
I think that winds up this morning's Issues AM.
It sure does. Clear out.
We won't be back at the same time tomorrow, but stay tuned now for Peter Russell Clark with another edition of Croutons a Go-Go.
He can f*** off as well.
Martin Malloy. They're sitting on something brown.
That's Annie Lennox. She's walking on broken glass here at Martin Malloy. In the next hour, folks, David Caruso is going to be in. You know, him of the red hair from NYPD Blue and Kiss of Death, and he's got a new film out. And I'm hoping we're going to get some tips on how to play a cop in a film, because he's done a few car chases. He's done a fair bit of reading people the rights. I want to get all the, you know, because I know we've talked to Lucky Grills, and as far as I'm concerned, that's the B. and be all and end all and end all and be all of playing your cops, but I'm sure, you know...
So second opinion.
Yeah, you can't go better than Lucky, but if Caruso's got any second ideas, you know, I'd be keen to hear them. Also, we've got Radio Gladiators on the way. Duet with Pete is in the next hour, and that's your chance to, well, today, pull on the Elton John glasses. Can't say any more than that. But, Mickey, I notice you've still got the rubber gloves on. You're down in the showbiz files. What have you found?
I can't help myself, Tone. Look, I'm knee-deep in Hugh Grant news now. I know it's about 6 months too late. But look, it's not me. He's brought this up. Actor Hugh Grant, he is an actor primarily and foremost, is in hot water with girlfriend Liz Hurley again after he was spotted in Milan's red light district. Gee, Hugh Grant in a red light district. He must have another film to promote. Has he got something coming out? Has he? He must have something in the wind. Yeah. The publicity push has begun. Grant was in Italy with Hurley for the Versace fashion show, but late one night he went for a stroll ended up in an area of the city frequented by prostitutes.
Oh, you're joking.
Where would that be? Charlie Sheen's motel room, perhaps? It could be anywhere. It doesn't necessarily mean red light district. Nah. But, well, he was followed by a photographer, I'm afraid. And yes, it was a red light district. Oh, it's like honey to a bee, isn't it, for old Hubo? He'll drive there, he'll walk there, one way or another, he'll get himself there. He'd get himself into one of those amphibious military landing crafts and storm it if he thought he had to. If he was in a plane and it crashed, where do you reckon it'd crash? Red light area.
I think so.
If he had a chance to hijack it, he'd probably take it there himself. But this is the fun. This is the bit that strikes me as being particularly interesting. He was caught because he was followed by photographers, and Grant was caught on film as a woman approached the actor, and Grant obligingly gave her an autograph.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, right. My tip is it's one of those autographs that take 5 days to clear.
Welcome back to Martin Malloy as we step into the cauldron for a bit of...
Radio Gladiators, your chance to represent your state and win fame, glory, and fabulous prizes. Here's today's challenge.
Now, it's clearly a slow news day because Mick Molloy has just spent the whole program nose down in the showbiz guides and magazines. And I believe you've got another story for us now, Mickey, that might be able to lead us towards a gladiators challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. Basically, we're trying to help out an old mate, Clint Eastwood here.
Clint?
Yeah, Clint's in trouble. Basically, he's sick of turning up on set or just turning up anywhere in his everyday life and having people badger him to death with the phrase, go ahead, make my day. Because people think it's smart, so they see him and they go, oh, and you, Clint, hey, Clint, go ahead, make my day. And it's funny once.
Yeah.
But it happens to him about 10,000 times.
See, a lot of movie stars would get this. I'm sure that Jim Carrey gets, you know, smoking.
Absolutely.
Wherever he goes. And I'm sure Paul Mercurio, because he's in this Back and Beyond, I'm sure he gets one of the phrases from that film. But what about
what's his name? Orson Welles.
Oh, yeah.
I used to follow him around.
Did you?
Everywhere you go, I just turn up and go,
Rosebud.
Yeah. He used to love that.
I'll bet he did. But what about Clint? So he's got, Make My Day. Mm-hmm. Obviously, he's got Do You Feel Lucky Punk. You know, he's got quite a few little catchphrases.
And he's banned them.
Is that right?
He's banned him. You're no longer allowed to say that in his presence. If you're working on his film, if you're enjoying his company, you cannot say those. So basically what he's going to be looking for is a new catchphrase.
Okay, so we're coming up with, because maybe the problem's Clint's problem. Mm-hmm. He hasn't got enough catchphrases to go around. Mm. We need variety. We need some new catchphrases for Clint. Any ideas, Mickey? Would it be something like just anything abstract? It could just be, go ahead, eat the sausages. Just anything.
That'd
just
be nice.
Something like that.
How about
advanced hair? Yeah, yeah.
How about that?
Or, well, punk, do you feel like a Slurpee?
That's a beauty.
Or, just it doesn't have to even be based on one of his own catchphrases. It can be something totally just for Clint to say in one of his films. It could be, you know, no way, I'm going down that big, scary water slide. It's just something like that.
He'd love to hear that repeated back to him 100 times. He really would.
Now, we're not asking you to do this just for nothing, people. No. We've got a Sonny Discman here with your name on it. Mm-hmm. It's brought to you by 4 and 20 Pies, the great Australian taste. And as if that weren't enough, the winner goes into the draw for the Ford Festiva, courtesy of the Ford Australian Open.
Now, good on them.
Ford Festiva, I've had a look at it from the outside, Mickey, and it's quite a small car. It's a small car for the open road, but inside, people are talking about roominess. They're talking about leg room. Have you got inside? How much room is there in there, and what can you do inside a Ford Festiva?
What can I tell you? You know, the closest thing I can liken it to is the TARDIS. Doctor Who's TARDIS. Because outside, it's just, you know, it looks fairly small.
Yeah.
But inside, whoa, it's just, there are oceans and oceans of things to do. And it gets you, it's like a time tunnel, because once you're in, it seems like only minutes pass before you're where you were going.
Right now,
it's been so enjoyable.
But what could you do? Could you stage the actual Ford Australian Open inside the Festiva? Is there that much room in there?
Yes, you could.
Could you say get all the players in there and go, okay, it's time for the men's singles, let's go out to the boot?
Yep.
Could you go, time for the women's doubles, so we'll put the back seat down?
Okay, yeah. Lower the bonnet. And
open that big roof, Melbourne Tennis Centre style.
A sunroof. That's the sunroof on the Festiva is as big as the roof on the tennis
center. Does it have a sunroof, Mickey?
Hey, you can put it in.
Do you know that for sure?
No, I don't, but I'm sure our good friends down at Ford and the Australian Open would organise it.
Yeah.
In fact, they'd probably get the guy who opens the roof on the tennis centre to drive around in the passenger seat, and you'd never have to do it yourself. That guy would do it for you. Weather's getting bad, might have to close the sunroof. No, allow me.
What's the topic for Gladiators again, Mickey? Any ideas?
Catchphrases.
Oh, for Clint Eastwood.
Go Clint Eastwood.
I remember now. Call us up. 1-800-657-657. EDB, let's groove here on Martin Molloy. It's Radio Gladiators. We found a little story in the paper about Clint Eastwood. Apparently he's sick of people coming up to him in the street and repeating his catchphrases at him. You know, go ahead, make my day, etc. So today we've set the listeners a task. Let's come up with some new catchphrases for Clint. Mm. And we've got a lot of callers. I think television publicity people are starting to get a foothold into Radio Gladiators. We've had people call up and go, oh, I think a good catchphrase would be,
don't forget your toothbrush. I could just hear Channel 9 theme music playing in the background. Mm. People calling up and going, I think a good catchphrase will be, looking good, the 9 network, 8 o'clock Mondays. No, I don't think that's what we're looking for. Have we got anyone sensible on the line, Mickey?
We've got Mark on the line. G'day, Mark. How are you?
G'day, guys. How are you?
And I don't know if sensible's the right word, but Mark's come up with a catchphrase.
I'll give it a go.
It's for Clint. Well, you're going to have to do it for us in the manner of Clint.
Okay.
So this is your big break, you're Clint Eastwood. And you're opening a new film, and your catchphrase that's about to sweep the nation is...
Go ahead. Would you pass me some of them butter menthols over, would you?
Go ahead. Would you pass me some of those butter menthols over, would you? So that's Clint, say, he's getting short of voice. Yeah. He's down the 7-Eleven, and he's keen for some butter menthols. What exactly would be the scenario for that film? Any ideas, Mark?
Revenge of the Frog.
Did it be
the frog?
The Strepsils of Madison County? I don't know.
I'm trying, people. I'm trying.
That's not bad. Okay, yeah, that's a potential catchphrase for Clint.
Not bad, but can't see it on a T-shirt myself.
No.
Tone. Let's try Brendan. Hello, Brendan.
Hello.
How are you, mate?
Not bad, yourself?
Oh, yeah, pretty good. I'm hoping to be better after you've finished with us. Okay, you've come up with your catchphrase. You are Clint Eastwood. You turn to the adoring public and you say...
You earn me no pickles.
Oh, and it's a sentiment I think a lot of people can identify with. And yes, I think that could work for Clint.
I'm paying that one.
Okay.
So he says Clint's at a McDonald's or somewhere, is he?
Co-starring Elvis, The Big Return.
Co-starring Elvis.
Yeah.
What would his catchphrase be? Do I get fries with that?
Pickles, please, and plenty of them. Okay, Brendan, thanks. I think that could work. But, Matthew, it's your turn to Clint up and give us his new catchphrase. What is it?
Yeah, it'll be, don't get hit by a flying cacti.
That's a possibility, I think so.
And what kind of film scenario did you imagine that to take place in, Matthew?
Well, I'd be, doing another Western, and I'd just be threatening to pick up the nearest cacti and take off their heads with it.
Yeah. Okay. I just reckon Matthew likes saying the word cacti on national radio.
See, it's cacti.
It's probably a new show on Channel 9.
Well, it's going to be a new 0055 number by the time this segment's finished. Thanks very much, Matthew, and a very nice impression as well. Have we got Amber? Amber?
Yeah?
You can do a bit of a Clint for us, can you?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, let's hear your catchphrase.
Okay. Go ahead. Give me a wet willy.
A wet willy, kind of Simpson style.
Yeah, like a mixture.
Have you ever received or given a wet willy at all, Amber?
Yeah.
Is it taken off amongst the young folk? Is it still popular?
Oh, yeah, it gives us a good laugh.
Okay.
Look forward to seeing that on the big screen.
I wish this segment could say the same. Okay, next up we've got, finally, I think, John. John, you've got the ultimate Eastwood catchphrase. What is it?
John.
And this is it. It's just
John.
No, this is it's Clint becoming so recessive and restrained in his acting style that he just says, like that, you say.
I thought that was Paul Mercurio's catchphrase.
No, I think it's great because it solves the problem. You see, Clint Eastwood will have just people coming up to him and going,
that's what he wants.
And that's what he wants. He wants nothing.
John's the winner.
It's very existential, but somehow it fits the bill. But unfortunately, I don't think John's actually there to accept his prize. So who's it going to go to?
In lieu of the silent but deadly John, we're going to give it to Matthew and his flying cacti.
Are you there, Matthew?
Yeah, you're damn right, it's the cacti.
And Matthew, just for people who might be tuning in about now, give us what the new Clint Eastwood catchphrase is again.
Don't get hit by a flying cacti.
Yeah.
That's the one, boys.
Just throw a punk on the end, see how that sounds.
Punk.
Yeah, I think it's better now. And you've got the Sonny Discman.
All right.
And you've got into the draw for the Ford Festiva. What do you think of that, Clint?
It's two good punks.
Yes. Okay. Matthew, it's too late to take it off. You say you've still got it. Congratulations.
And you're in the draw, and as our producer points to the clock, it's time for me to tell you we'll be back with another Gladiators tomorrow. And stick around, people, after the news. We're going to be talking with David Caruso.
And in this hour of Martin Malloy, we're going to dip into the file mark Foolish Behaviour. We've got another delightful duet with Pete, but next up we'll be joined by actor David Caruso, all thanks to Telstra Mobile Net Digital. Here, Tom Jones, it's time for your lie down with If I Only Knew here on Martin Malloy. It's the second hour, folks, and our guest today, well, we know him for his very fine work as the bloke with the red hair in NYPD Blue Series 1, and more recently, the film Kiss of Death. He's back with a new one, Jade. And if the satellite's in position, he should be able to tell us about it himself. It's David Caruso. Can you hear us, David? I'll take that as a yes. You've been enjoying the show, have you?
Yeah, that Tom Jones really got me going.
Cool and Exorcist.
Did you say grab his nuts on that?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a very subtle program.
I may be too young for this show.
Okay. Now, David, I know you can't see us, so we're just going to paint a picture. And if you don't mind, I'd like to use a couple of your co-stars from Jade as reference points. Mickey here is the Dead Set lookalike for Chaz Palminteri.
Wow.
And I'm a spitting image of that Linda Fiorentino. So are you painting a picture there?
Sure, I got it.
The three of us should get together, make a film sometime.
Yeah, you got to be naked.
Okay.
You're naked. We are.
Now, what about that Linda Fiorentino? What's she like to work with?
She's great. Yeah. She's like, there's nobody like Linda. Nobody else could have done the role in this picture but Linda. Totally courageous and slightly out of her mind. So perfect.
She was. Did you see her in The Last Seduction? She was fantastic in that one.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. And I think she's completely different in this picture, too, you know. Vulnerable, beautiful. She's perfect.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't have any sex scenes with her at all, did you, at all? No. I'm taping that as a no.
I wasn't allowed to. It wasn't in the script. Okay. Put it this way, not on camera.
Okay. All right, I think you've said too much, David. Hey, now you're out in Australia. How are you going? You finding it all right?
Yeah, man, it's great. I'm having a great time here. People have seen the show and seen Kiss of Death, so it's like old home week for me.
Excellent. Now, you were out at the Cup yesterday, I understand.
I was.
How'd you find that?
We made a left at Greenland, I believe. Come on now, that's the Hard Day's Night reference. You remember
that. Okay, I'm in. Cool. It was pretty wet, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great, though. We had fun.
Did you back a winner?
I knew who was going to win the race, but I chose not to bet on him.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. No, who did I, what was it? Oh, God, I forget my horse. Number 17. I lost.
Right. Yeah. We'll look it up later.
There you go.
Yeah, number 17's in a pie by now, I think, so bad move.
Straight to the glue factory.
Now, we want to get back to Jade, because this film, it's directed by William Friedkin, who we know. I think he won the Oscar, didn't he, for The French Connection?
That's correct, and he also made The Exorcist.
Yeah, and as soon as you're in one of his films, and there's legal behaviour and cops and that kind of thing, you're talking car chase, you got to do a couple in this one. What was it like? What did you feel like getting into a car for a bit of Friedkin action?
Well, it was great. I say that you find out a lot about yourself going off one of those jump ramps at 60 miles an hour. And it's also a testament to a Ford Taurus because they survived the landing a few times.
So you're actually in there yourself doing that?
Yeah. The way he shot it, I had to be in the car for about 90%. But I couldn't do the 90-foot jump or the car roll for insurance purposes. But yeah, I was in there.
So it sounds, looked like the kind of thing that would require a crash test dummy, let alone an actor worth millions of bucks.
And a great insurance policy, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And what about the Chinatown one? I mean, was that just like a parade in progress, or did you guys organize that?
And terrific egg rolls, too. Yeah. Yeah, they did. Actually, the way it was organized, we'd kind of have to run out there and shoot quickly, and then the cops would wrap it up. So, but they were great. I mean, the Chinese people up there left their parade up for us and everything, so can't complain.
Now, David, you're playing an assistant DA in this one. You've played cops before. Have you got any tips for young players? What are the things to avoid when you're playing a cop on the screen?
Don't be obvious. Don't reach. Don't let it come to you. Billy would say to me, Friedkin would say to me, just let it come to you, man. Let it come to you.
And you just kick back and wait till it come.
A little bit.
All right.
I have the badge, see, so they have to come to me.
Okay.
Now, what about, so, okay, that's obviously playing a cop.
But I want to go back to when you're working with Nicolas Cage on Kiss of Death.
Was he in that?
I think he was.
Yeah.
And that was, cool. From what I could see...
I like him.
It was a bit of an acting duel, from what I could see, a contrasting styles going on there. How was that standing in front of Nicolas and the two contrasting styles going on?
Well, I think that's what made it work, the fact that I think we do approach things differently, and I think that's on the film. He's a completely unique performer, and I hadn't encountered anybody like him before, and I think it was kind of my reaction to his style that maybe made the scenes work.
So Nicolas came to you?
Yeah, he came to me. Well, I've got the badge.
Okay.
Let's see if we can make that work this time.
Is he mad, Nicolas Cage? Did he get into any of that cockroach-eating antics that he gets up to?
Wow. Let's see. On Kiss of Death? No, he was actually into the whole bodybuilding thing, and he became huge for it. So, but it worked, man.
Okay. All right. Well, can you stick around for another break with us, David?
Today?
Yeah.
Today?
Yes,
yeah, okay.
Oh, come on.
That would be fine.
It'll be fine.
Okay, well, we'll be back in just a moment with okay. David Caruso cool. here on Martin Malloy. Boy, and David Caruso's with us on the panel today talking about his new film, Jade, which opens right around the country November 16th. David, there's a bloke in the film who plays your partner, and I understand he might be a real policeman. Is that correct?
Yes, indeed.
Well, how did that happen?
Actually, Yes Indeed is the name of the horse. We remembered it.
Good on you.
50. It's actually, his name today is Yes Indeed, I'm Out 50 Bucks.
Okay.
The police officer is a real San Francisco homicide detective, so he was there, man.
And how did he...
was method acting.
We went up there to, Billy and I, to do some research with the DAs, and he just walked into the office, the DA office, on another case, and Billy said, that's the guy. And and then the poor, this guy was, the guy's life has been totally ruined by the movie, too. It's amazing. And he showed up to the premiere with these giant sunglasses on. It was great.
And I don't mean to be rude, but he's...
Oh, go ahead.
He's carrying a bit of weight.
That was all special effects.
Was it? Because you've got him running upstairs and leaping over tables.
Well, there's a lot of donuts in that stomach.
Okay.
How was Joe Esterhaus to work with? Did you have much dealings with him?
I've only spoken to Joe on the phone. Mm-hmm. He was kind of off in Hawaii, but he did his best on the script.
They're full on scripts. What do you make of it the first time you flick through it? Are you following it? Do you get to points where you're going, hang on a second, what's all this?
Yeah. I think that's what he's noted for. You know, the twists and turns. You don't know what's going to happen next. And I think that's on the film. I think the movie came out like that.
Mm. Now, David, something that's happened when you've sort of hit the big time over here, and we know you from NYPD Blue and the films, is I'll often have people say to me, I saw that bloke off NYPD Blue in a tiny role in some film. You've got little roles in, like, were you in an officer and a gentleman?
I was, yes.
Right. What have you got any that you're not telling people about? Is there any we should watch out for?
Little roles?
Yeah. Just shock us. See, we had Kevin Costner on here a few...
He's got a little role.
Yeah, he had one. I think he had the line, Hello, Francis, in the film Francis.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yes. I did a character in a picture called Without Warning, which was a horror picture that was brought up to me by a kind journalist the other day. And there were aliens in it that looked like flying fried eggs with teeth.
So, oh,
yeah. They're hoping to re-release that if Jade does well.
Riding on Jade's coattails.
There you go.
I know, when you were young, David, you started out, you were working in a cinema, weren't you?
That's correct.
As an usher and that. So you would have seen a fair few films in your time. Is that where you got inspired to get on the big screen yourself?
Yeah, that's part of it. Actually, I was an usher when The French Connection was in the theater.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
So you took an immediate like to that genre?
There you go.
What would you say your favorite film was?
Jade.
Jade.
So, I'm sorry.
Well done. The correct answer. You win a prize.
Yeah. What is the prize?
A three-pack of CDs. They're all Gloria Estefan, I'm afraid.
Cool. And a little roll.
A little roll.
There you go. Let's see. You know, we were actually coming over in the car. I was talking about a picture called Apocalypse Now. Have you ever seen that?
A little flick.
Yeah,
I remember it.
Yeah, that's a big favorite of mine.
Yeah. You weren't in that one yourself and just having one more.
Didn't have a little role in that one.
Okay. I tell you one I do enjoy, and this is a film that really divides people, is a film called Mad Dog and Glory with yourself and De Niro and Bill Murray.
Right. What are they doing now?
I don't know. punching out photographers, apparently.
I'm currently residing in the Where Are They Now bin.
Yes, yes, along with Michael Jackson's genitals.
Wow. I am too young for this show.
But, now, David...
What color would they be?
They're running some tests.
Cool.
They've taken them down to forensic.
Just hope they're not purple. Cool.
But I want to ask you about, what's the insider? What are you working on there?
Right. It's a picture that I wrote and will produce. It's a movie about a male and female surveillance team who do characterizations in deep cover settings. And they're given a child that's not theirs. And the trick of the picture is for them not to become attached to the kid.
Right.
And invariably they do.
And who's playing the other one?
We don't know yet.
Oh, I see.
I might play the kid, though.
Okay.
You know, just for like a...
Good
kind of change of pace.
So that's
a kid with a badge.
It's just work for you, David. What do you do in your spare time when you're not punching out films?
Well, I actually have a daughter who's 11 years old, mm-hmm. and so that takes up quite a bit of my time.
Okay, so you're not out there. You're not a bit of a showbiz type. You're not at these Planet Hollywood openings. You're not getting tattoos of your girlfriend's names all over your body.
Not really. Yeah. I'm a little too tired for that, actually.
Yeah?
But, I actually did, on the Jade tour, publicity tour, I did some Planet Hollywood openings across the country. That was pretty neat, but that was the extent of it for me.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, though, you've got an 11-year-old daughter. She wouldn't get to see any of your work, would
you? No, you're exactly right. She's, Dad, when are you going to do... She wants me to do Babe 2.
Oh, okay. And so that's why you've had to write it yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
And have you done much writing, David? Is this
I actually do quite a bit between jobs, so it's about my 10th screenplay I've written, and maybe the first one to be produced.
Okay, well, you're doing well then, by
thanks.
Hollywood standards. Okay, well, all the best with The Insider, and all the best with Jade.
Great, man, thanks.
And thanks for talking to us today, David Caruso.
Really appreciate it.
Oh, Martin Malloy. Malloy with History Never Repeats, and Mickey, let's not muck about today. Let's get straight to the business. It's the wedding of the year, and it's coming to your town. Good on you, Pete. Now, Crocodile Rock, Mickey, you can't bugger up Crocodile Rock.
No, I'm prepared to give this one a go myself. Fire it up! No, I'm only joking.
Okay. No, but I'm sure most people know the words, but in case you don't, and you'll need them, get that pen and paper, and today we've got the sexy Barry White pen and paper music. That's it. Go over to the sideboard. Get the pen. No, I didn't say smear peanut butter all over your body, Madonna style. I said get the pen and paper.
Can we get Pete to do some Barry White? Would that be a duet?
It could be next week.
Could be next week.
I'll put it to him.
Okay.
Because he's very fussy.
I know. He rejects 9 out of 10 we send him, doesn't he?
He's very particular. Okay, I think that's enough. Yeah, I think that's the bit I'm... I just couldn't... Let's hear a bit more of it. It's just...
I'm becoming a pen maniac.
Look how many pens I've brought over. But, I don't know if we'll get Pete to do Barry White. He is very particular. I threw a bit of Nine Inch Nails at him last week, and he just, don't want to know.
Turned his nose up.
Yeah.
But, stormed off to his caravan.
But he said yes to Crocodile Rock, and you can join him. Call us now with your pen and paper. 1-800-657-657. Well, to Martin Malloy, it's time for the talent section of the program. And if you're talking talent, you're talking Pete Smith. We know that. But who's going to join him today, Mickey?
Today, Graham is going to join him. G'day, Graham. How are you?
Not too foul, guys.
That's away. Now, Graham, when you become very famous as a rock star after this event, because you will,
undoubtedly.
That's all I want to see on the touring poster. You know, like Madonna or Sting, I just want to see Graham.
Yep.
And everyone will know who it is. The other half of that magnificent duet with Pete Smith.
And years later, you can just call yourself the artist formerly known as Graham.
Yeah, exactly.
So you've got all that to look forward to, but firstly, you've got a task to perform, and Pete's ready. Mm-hmm. The show band's ready. Take it away, Graham, with Crocodile Rock.
I remember when rock was young.
Me and Susie had so much fun.
Holding hands and skimming stones.
We had an old gold Chevy and a place of my own.
But the biggest kick I ever got
was doing a thing called the Crocodile Rock.
While the other kids were rocking round the clock,
we were hopping and bopping to the Crocodile Rock. Yeah!
Crocodile rocking is something shocking.
When your feet just can't keep still.
I never knew me a better time,
and I guess I never will.
Oh Lordy Mama,
on Friday night,
and Susie wore her dress that's tight.
Went Crocodile rocking was out of sight.
La, 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 la.
La 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 la.
La 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 la.
Yes.
Did I hear you say, whoops, Graham?
Yep.
Okay, Mickey, was that crocodile rocking or was it something shocking? You tell me. What's the point score? Oh, Lordy Graham.
It's got to be a negative.
Nah, you hung in there, but you don't get the points. It's only a five. Oh, it's only a five. But pick yourself up on the floor, artist formerly known as Graham. You've got the Die Hard with a Vengeance prize pack.
Bargain.
Yeah. It sure is, because it's got, firstly, the film Die Hard with a Vengeance. Secondly, I think a hat. And then all manner of deadly weapons emblazoned with the Die Hard logo. So that's all yours to enjoy in the safety of your own lounge room.
You would have got another point, Graham, if you hadn't been miming playing the piano while you did that.
Okay.
On your own, playing the air piano. But
all
you
right.
weren't up to it, were you?
Yeah, no, I didn't have the big round glasses on either.
Okay. But
I make it four.
You made an effort, so we respect you for that. So thanks very much, Graham, for having a duet with Pete.
Great, thanks, guys.
And we'll be back with another one at the same time tomorrow on Martin Malloy. Stick around now for Martin Malloy, where, yes, it's time for Foolish Behaviour! Look, Mickey, I'm involved in a secret share deal with Coles Buyer!
I'm going to change the law to allow Prince Charles to marry Camilla Parker Bowles!
Foolish behaviour, I don't know what is, people. It's the segment where you have the chance to out yourself. It's a therapeutic segment, and basically dob yourself in if you're involved in a bit of foolish behaviour. And I was, what is that, a letter there, Mickey? Is that a bona fide?
Yes, I've got a bona fide letter from the sunny climes of Queensland from a young man named Pete. And he writes, Dear Tony and Mick, I have been unemployed now for some time, and my greatest battle is fighting the boredom and depression of sitting around at home with nothing to do.
Yeah.
Recently, I hatched a cunning plan that not only gets me out of the house, but allows me to meet varied and interesting people, and who knows, could one day lead to a full-time employment. Here's what I do. Once or twice a week, I throw on my good suit and a cap and head out to the airport, where I wait by the baggage carousel, holding a sign with the name of a supposed passenger on it.
Right.
Sometimes it's possible to fluke the name of a real passenger, although the jig's usually up by the time I attempt to load their luggage into the back of my Holden Gemini. I have been doing this for some time now and have built up quite a collection of signs. Some of my favourites are Hootie, Peter Pan, Desmond Tutu and Batman. Recently, I was at home working on a Mr. T when I learnt that the imported horses for the Melbourne Cup were arriving that afternoon at the airport. In no time at all, I had attached a float to the back of my Holden and stood out the front of quarantine with a sign reading Vintage Crop. I was particularly amused by this because not only was Vintage Crop a favourite for the Cup, but also a fairly good description of what I'd been smoking all morning. See you sometime at the airport, Pete. Oh, P.S., how do you spell endure? That's what he's working on now.
Well, he's involved in his own duet with Pete Bailey, isn't he? And isn't it amazing how so many letters to the segment involve the person announcing that they decided to hatch a cunning plan? But, hey, people, from time to time on the segment, we like to rope in somebody else. And on the line now, I believe we've got, it might be, Rob Sitch. Robbie, are you there?
I'm there, Tone.
There's trouble.
Now, are you foolish behaviour? Are you involved in some yourself?
Yes, I am. And I was sitting on an exercise bike at my gym the other day, which I guess is foolish behaviour in itself.
Sure.
And I heard Sophie Lee start this whole car parking thing.
And what have you
done?
And
I thought, here's the story. I've gone down to see some comedy one night, and I thought, I'm not going to get a park.
All right.
And lo and behold, right outside the venue, right smack outside, is a car park.
Oh, Petrocelli style.
Oh, I've gone, yes. And as I've parked, I'm seeing people smiling at me. And I've gone, yeah, I got it. So I went in, and 2 or 3 hours later, I walk out, and there's a ticket on the windscreen. And I've gone, you are kidding me.
Yeah.
That is a joke. There's no way. And I pick it up, and I go, oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Apparently not sufficient overlap between my car and a taxi.
Oh, really?
What?
Oh, you're joking. Is that
so
a special ticket?
And I've gone $40, parked right outside. Not a bad night.
Oh, well.
Do it again.
Yeah, you see, it'll take a long time for you to make the wait for taxi driver Rob Sitch.
You weren't fooling anyone there. Do you think
that those people that were smiling would have just taken the time out to just warn me?
No, they got their $40 worth.
Okay, Robbie, there's a foolish behaviour paper crown in the mail for you.
Well, I've just kept that whole stupid with car parking spot thing going, hoping it's a theme.
Well, mate, it'll kick on.
And, Rob, I'm afraid it's the end of the segment, so you've got to go foolish under the music. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thanks, Rob. Bye-bye.
Whoa!
Oh, my goodness!
I'm an idiot! I'm down the gym!